so wonderful to have you joining us online this morning. It's been so good to hear your testimonies of how you've been growing in the Word, God speaking to you. And we just honor you today. I hope you're staying safe. Know that you're getting the same Word as those that are sitting in our service this morning. We love and we are praying for you. I'm going to be continuing looking at our series on With God, All Things Are Possible. And Yana and Steve have just done such a great job of laying down the foundations, looking at the miracle with Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood. And we saw how just hearing the right things, saying the right things, believing God and having faith in Him is just such a wonderful tool to see the impossible manifest in our lives. You know, so often we hear the words, with God, all things are possible. But we suddenly have that horrible letter that comes up and it's but. I think we need to understand that God never changes. So with God, all things are possible. But I think so often we put conditions and we look at circumstances or we know circumstances that didn't work out for us and we start to doubt that word in our heart. And I'm going to be looking at a story in the Bible that will just help us and convince us that God really is the God of the impossible. But somehow we look and we see circumstances and it's up to us to make sure that we have our hearts right, that we are also playing our part in being a source of His miracles and His miraculous manifesting today on this earth. So won't you join me? Should we just open up and pray? Father God, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for seeds that can be watered. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome to bear much fruit in us. As we hear your word, as we apply it, as we let it minister to our hearts. And I just pray for every person listening that they will be touched in a very special way. For those trusting for the impossible, Father, that they will put their hope in you and know that you are capable of anything because of what you did in your Son Jesus 2,000 years ago. We honor you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So we're going to jump into a great story. I think it was one of my favorite Bible stories growing up. And that's the story of Naaman. Won't you join me as we read 2 Kings chapter 5. From verse 1, it says, Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Armenians had gone out in bands and taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Aram said, Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. It happened when Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent word to the king saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you. And you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Here our story starts with Naaman, this incredible military leader. He was a commander, he was victorious, he was highly regarded even in his master's sight. We see this incredible leader. But then come these three-letter word, but he had a skin condition. He had leprosy. All these incredible accomplishments that he had were all dimmed in this one light, that there was something wrong with him. Something that when he looked in the mirror every day, those accomplishments meant nothing, because all he could see was that he was marked and he was dying. And we see how God, from the beginning, gives this man favor. But there is just a miracle that is needed. And God of the impossible starts to work. But we move into our story. And my first point this morning that I want to share with you is that God uses ordinary people. Because the first part of God doing the impossible starts with a little girl, a little slave girl that has been ripped away from her family, been taken out of her homeland, and she's now serving Naaman's wife so faithfully. She doesn't have issues. She doesn't have this huge harbor of bitterness where she's like, I'm not telling them about my God, or she doesn't even blame God for her situations. But what does she do? She realizes that she has the answer. And she is prepared to be bold enough to look past this very dominating leader, to see past his medals and his war wins and all of the being the hero of the country. She looks past it and she shares, I know someone. I know a prophet that can heal. I trust in the God of Israel to heal my master. And that just starts this journey of God doing the impossible. And we see how she takes this brave step. And this morning, my first challenge is to each one of us, that we all have a capacity, we all have a responsibility to share the good news about Jesus. We need to understand that God doesn't just use the big people on stage. He doesn't use the big people going out every day into the world with their mega churches. He uses ordinary people like you and I. And this servant girl took this brave step and shared the good news, the answer to his disease. And what I love is that we need to be that little girl. We need to have the faith of a child. We need to step out in boldness, because if she hadn't started this journey, Naaman would have died from leprosy. It all started with her. You know, we all know the big names like Charles Spurgeon, but do you know that it was Mary Cook, a much less known woman, who led Spurgeon to Christ? Every major move of God starts with somebody sharing Jesus. And I want to encourage you, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there's someone at work. Maybe there's a family member. And it's up to you to stand up, step out in faith, be the start of their journey in allowing God to do the impossible. Ephesians 6, 19 to 20 says, and this is Paul speaking, this incredible man of God. He says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassadors. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Isn't that incredible that we too can be God's ambassadors, speaking boldly the mysteries of his good news? Let each one of us be like that slave girl. In Acts 4 verse 13, it says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." Do you know, sometimes that's our only qualification in life, is that we have been with Jesus. That is my prayer every morning, that, you know what, I may not feel qualified, I may not feel I have all the scriptures at hand, but I have Jesus, and Jesus loves people, and we can be Jesus in a skin to those around them and be the start of so many miracles in their lives. The second point that I want to make out of this story, and for me it was a movie, as some of you know, I have these movies that go on in my head. But I want to make the statement, and I hope I'm not opening up a can of worms, but let's not let politics, judgments, and accusations, or even assuming other people's motives, stop us from seeing a miracle. You know, the king of Israel receives this letter, and in it, all he wants to do is, the king of Aram is saying, "Please, I need my servant, please make way for him." And he has a full-on adult temper tantrum. I mean, look what it said in verse 7. "When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he's seeking a quarrel against me.'" You know, some translations even say, "Is he picking a fight with me?" Others even say, "He is looking for a cause for war." I mean, you talk about a full-on adult temper tantrum, that he was so angry, he tore his clothes. Maybe that was why Naaman took 10 sets of clothes, because at least he could replace the clothes that he had bought. I don't know whether he had this inner feeling that the king was going to erupt like that. But you talk about seeing things from a different light. Here is this poor man wanting healing, and the king of Israel thinks he's starting a war. You talk about getting the wrong message. And how often does that happen in our lives? People come to us or make statements, and what do? We start judging. We start assuming the wrong thing. I mean, I love it. We read it so often in the Bible. I mean, look at Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Even Luke reminds us in Luke chapter 6, verse 37. He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measured, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap." So that's not just an offering scripture talking about money. It's actually talking about judgment. When you start to judge others, you will be judged, and it just starts the snowball effect. You know what? If Elisha hadn't stepped in when he had stepped in and said, "Why are you tearing your clothes? Send him to me. I will show him there's a prophet in Israel. I will show him the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." If Elisha hadn't stepped in at that moment, politics, judgment, accusations would have ruined God doing the impossible. Sure. Don't we want to stop that in our country today? Don't we want to stop that in our world with the people around us? I don't want to be a stumbling block by stopping somebody else's miracle because of my judgments and false accusations. So let's let go of all judgment and continue to look for the God of the impossible. Amen. The third point that I want to make with you this morning is, don't let pride and offense stop the miracle you are expecting. Don't let pride and offense mess up your miracle. here was poor Naaman. He's the leader of an army. He's this commander. He demands authority, and he's got this whole box of how he expects his miracle to work. And I know that's none of us. We all have open eyes and open minds to how God should move in our lives. But this was poor Naaman. He's got the certain thing, and he goes with his preconceived ideas of how God is going to do his miracle. If you hadn't read the Bible, maybe you would have thought that he was watching a Disney movie, because he's expecting the prophet to wave his hand and wands, and I mean, it's just crazy. But then what happens is he gets there, and what happens? The servant meets him at the door. First thing. Second thing is that the servant says that he must wash in one of the rivers that isn't clean. It's the filthy Jordan River, not one of his clean rivers. And the third thing is he needs to wash in it 7 times. You talk about an opportunity, and it even says there in the Bible that he left in a rage. He was fuming. You know, so often people have these expectations of the church, of the pastors. It's like, well, the pastor didn't visit me in hospital, or, you know, I didn't get a letter from the pastor thanking me, or we expect the pastor to pray for us and then we will get healed. We have all these expectations of the church, of leaders, and suddenly if this isn't met, we can become so offended. Just like Naaman. He couldn't believe that Elisha hadn't even come to the door, that he had sent a servant to give him the instructions. Can you imagine if his servants hadn't allowed him and challenged him on the fence he was taken? When they say to him, Father, I just want to remind you, it says that the prophet told you to do some great thing. Would you not have done it? This is such a simple thing. Just go and wash in the river. How much more then when he says to do wash and be clean? It took one of his servants, one of those humble servants, to remind him, stop worrying about offense. Don't get angry. Do what the prophet has told. And you know, that was a step into seeing his miracle, into seeing God do the impossible. This morning, I really want to challenge you. Maybe you've had a box of how you think God should be ministering in your life. Maybe you've had a preconceived plan of, I'm going to do this, then I'll get that. I mean, you took about 2020 messing up our plans and our dreams. We can't get offended. We can't get upset with people, with the way we think God should be working. We need to lay down all these offenses. Look what it says in Proverbs 8 verse 13. It says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. In Proverbs 16 verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. In Luke 17, Jesus warns us and he says to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. And then he goes on to talk about offense. It is impossible that no offense is going to come. Friend, I want to remind you, we are going to get offended. People are going to let us down. Things aren't going to go the way we expected them. But you know what? If we get upset, if we're going to hold on to that offense, we are going to miss our miracle. Let it go. Forgive. Walk in love. Change your mind. Don't hold on to that lie. Know that the God we serve is always wanting the best for us. His character is faithfulness. His character is mercy and goodness, wanting to do even more than we can think or imagine or even dream beyond our wildest dreams. So he is always working on our behalf, but we stop that miracle from happening. Just like Naaman had a choice. He could have stopped after the first wash, had a look, said, I'm done. This is revolting. I cannot carry on. He could have given up on the fourth try, but he chose to humble himself. He chose to believe the word of the prophet. And when he came up that seventh time, his skin was brand new, like a newborn baby. What a miracle. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't think of your plans as set in stone. Think of the character of God, that with God all things are possible. Be led by peace. Be led by His word. Be led by the voice in you. And know that as you let go, as you become bold in your sharing of your faith, as you allow God to use you in your everyday life, watch the God of the impossible manifest in your life. Friends, won't you allow God to do the impossible in your life? Won't you allow Him to come and sense and touch you at this very special moment? Maybe you need boldness. Maybe you need to let go of assumptions and judgments and even politics. Or maybe you need to let go of offense. Won't you make that decision today so that you can see the possible come into place? Because with God, all things are possible. He wants to heal, He wants to save, He wants to deliver, He wants to provide for you. Allow Him to do that. May I pray with you this morning. Father God, I just bring our precious family before you. I pray for every person who's watching this. Lord, where offense has been taken, where there's been people hurt, maybe assumptions made, Lord, I pray that they will choose to walk in forgiveness today, that they will let go and allow your healing power to fill their hearts right now. Where there's been a situation just like that paper that looked impossible, I thank you, Father, that you give solutions, you give way outs, that all things are possible with you. And Lord, I lastly pray that each one of us will see our importance and our significance in playing a part in your miracles, that we will be bold to share your gospel, be bold to share and be your ambassadors and witnesses in these last days. I thank you for each one of us. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Where there is sickness, I command it to leave right now in Jesus' name, because you are the healer and the provider. In Jesus' name we pray this. And everybody said, amen. Church, I want to remind you that you are so loved this morning, that you are being prayed for, that we miss you, but we know we will be together again soon, and we look forward to that. Always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved.